Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadev, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the good, for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. A purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless sound representation of all Vedic knowledge and history. They are selected histories of great devotees who are in direct contact with the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Lord Sri Krishna and is therefore non-different from him. Srimad Bhagavatam should be worshipped as respectfully as we worship the Lord. Thereby, we can derive the ultimate blessings of the Lord. Through its careful study, careful and patient study, as God is all light, all bliss, and all perfection, so also is Srimad Bhagavatam. We can have all the transcendental light of the Supreme Brahman, Sri Krishna, from the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, provided it is received through the medium of the transparent spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya's private secretary, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, advised all intending visitors who came to see the Lord at Puri to make a study of the Bhagavatam from the Person Bhagavatam. Person Bhagavatam is the self-realized bona fide spiritual master, and through him only can one understand the lessons of the Bhagavatam in order to receive the desired result. One can derive from the study of the Bhagavatam all benefits that are possible to be derived from the personal presence of the Lord. It carries with it all the transcendental blessings of Lord Sri Krishna that we can expect from his personal contact. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam E Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranyamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpaturabhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the translation again. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God and is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. So this is a very, very nice glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very apt, very appropriate glorification. So the context of this verse is the sages had gathered at Naimasharanya. And they could foresee the plight of Kali Yuga. What is going to happen? And being sages and having compassion in their hearts, they began to contemplate what can be done. What can be done for the residents and the citizens of Kali Yuga, yeah, to become happy, to become peaceful. And in this way, they first thought that they could achieve this by doing a fire sacrifice. And for a long time, many hundreds, thousands of years, they were pouring ghee into the yajna. But they saw nothing was happening. Actually, the only thing that happened was their faces became black from the soot. And they became very, very despondent, not knowing what is the solution to help the residents of Kali Yuga. And it is at that point the sages met Suta Goswami. And Suta Goswami was just returning after having been in the assembly that had heard the Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. So when he arrived there, the sages, knowing not what to do, approached Suta and saying, "Suta, please, you know, tell us, what do we do now?" And then Suta Goswami said, "Don't worry, I have the solution. Srimad Bhagavatam." And then the sages gathered together. They offered Suta Goswami a very nice seat. And then they were going to put forward their questions. But they decided that if everyone haphazardly asks questions, it's going to be a bit of a commotion. So let's do this in a very structured way. So they selected Shonaka Rishi. "You be our spokesperson." And then they gathered. They said, "All right, now let's decide what questions are we going to ask Suta Goswami." And they came up with six questions. Six wonderful questions. And the first question of the six was, "What is the ultimate good for all of humanity?" And then I'll quickly go to the other question. The second question is, "What is the essence of all scriptures?" The third question was, "Please explain the purpose of Krishna's appearance." The fourth question was, "Please explain to us about the Purusha avatars." The fifth question, "Please explain to us the Leela avatars." And the last question, again, was very appropriate. He said, "Now that Lord Krishna had disappeared," because this had taken place, this assembly, just after the disappearance of Lord Krishna, "now that Lord Krishna has disappeared, when he was present, Dharma was present on this earth. But now that he has departed, how is Dharma going to be existent?" So those six questions they asked. And Suta Goswami starts to answer them in the first canto, through the various verses. And here in this verse, he explains. He answers a number of those questions in the form of explaining what is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer. See, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is explained that the conclusive opinion of Srimad Bhagavatam is fivefold. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "The most worshipable form of the Lord is Sri Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. Vrindavandam is the topmost worshipable abode. The highest and most pleasing type of worship is that worship that was exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan. Krishna prem is the highest goal of life. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate authority of everything. Mahaprabhu said, Srimad Bhagavatam pramanam amalam. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur once said, if through some great catastrophe all of the books in the world are burnt, but only one book remains, Srimad Bhagavatam, there will be no cause for lamentation. Because Srimad Bhagavatam, it contains everything. It is Amala Puranam, the spotless Purana. So in this verse, you know, there's just so many aspects to it. It is compiled by the incarnation of God. It is non-different from Krishna. It is for the ultimate good of all people. It is all perfect. It is all blissful. And it is all successful. So in today's class, I'll try to just touch on some of these points. And Prabhupada in his purport makes some very relevant points, which I would like to explain, because it's nice. And we'll see how we'll get along. So the first thing I thought I will do is just look how people from the outside view Srimad Bhagavatam. Someone who has not made Srimad Bhagavatam their life and their goal. How do they view the Srimad Bhagavatam? And I'll look at it from the perspective of scholars, Vedic scholars, some of them secular. I know Govinda Prabhu made a good point in one of his posts recently. He said, you know, we don't worry about the PhDs. You know, we look at the acharyas. But I thought in this instance, it'd be nice to look. Because just like sometimes a parent has a child, and they think this child is just so naughty, he's just a nonsense. But some outsider may come sometimes and observe the child and he says, oh, what a good son you've got. Someone who is a bit from a distance, they say, oh, what a good son. And then the parents say, oh, yes. And then they'll appreciate their child a bit more. So sometimes having this perspective of someone looking outside into the Bhagavatam is nice to hear and listen to. So the scholars, they've studied the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they've looked at the Bhagavatam from different angles. From the angle of language, from the angle of vocabulary, from the angle of content, from the angle of what it's presenting and how it's presenting in terms of its structure. And they've come to certain conclusions. And these are scholars that have studied the Vedas, you know, from a bookworm point of view. And the general consensus is, from the perspective of language, Srimad Bhagavatam shines brilliantly. Just for example, the Puranas, there's two types of Sanskrit. Srimad Bhagavatam is written in the finest Sanskrit. The finest Sanskrit is written. And generally, you know, the finest Sanskrit is considered to be Vedic Sanskrit, what the original Vedas was written in. And then with time, as Vyasadeva, you know, compiled the Itihasas and the supplementary literatures like the Puranas, you see that he starts to use simpler Sanskrit. Simpler Sanskrit. And we can see he starts to use even simpler meters. Like the typical, those who have read Srimad Bhagavatam and read the other scriptures, we see the typical meter is the 32-syllable meter. That is called Anushukya. Anushuk. That's four lines, each with eight syllables. So 8 times 4 is 32. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, typically, it's Matra Spasa Tukunteya Sitoshna Sutta Dukada Agama Painos Nityas Tamsta Tikshava Bharata O Deino Asminyata Dehe Komaram Yovaram Jara Tatadira Antara Prapti Dhirastatra Namuyati O Sarva Dharma Parichaja. So you see all of these verses, they are using this meter, the 32-syllable meter. But Srimad Bhagavatam, if you come to Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see it's more complex, it's more difficult. Even the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's almost a tongue twister. And that uses some very unique meters. The first one is called the play of the tiger. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya janmadiyasya yatonvayat hitaratasta tateshu abhikya swarat tene brahmaridaya adikavaye muyanti yutsuraya Tejo vari mridam yatra timukyo yatra prisangam risha damna svena sadhavyakukam satyam param dimahi. You know, so this verse, it's called the meter, it's called the play of the tiger. Very, very complicated. And then you got the other verses, it's called Raja Hamsi. The movement of the swan. That's the Gopi Gita. What's the verse? Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavibiriditam kalmasavaham Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvikrinantiye Yeburidajana. So it's called the movement of the swan. So Srimad Bhagavatam uses beautiful meters. And the scholars have said that the Bhagavatam stands out in terms of its language. And the scholars said, Bhagavatam, if you read it, it's not Shastra. It's Kavya. It's poetry. It's nothing but poetry. And then Srimad Bhagavatam, it uses words that you will find nowhere else. Absolutely nowhere else you'll find words, but it only exists in Srimad Bhagavatam. So one may ask the question, if you are a scholar and you want to establish what the meaning of that word is, how would you know? Like the Oxford Dictionary, when they have words in the Oxford Dictionary, what they do is they look at the words in different contexts. And after looking at the words in different contexts, they arrive at what is the meaning. So normally a Sanskrit scholar, if they are trying to translate a book, and they want to find the meaning and they don't know, they will go to typically the William Monier Sanskrit Dictionary. And they will look up, oh yes, that's the word. So If one goes and finds a word in Bhagavatam that's found nowhere else, then you go to the dictionary and you see, oh yes, William Monier, he's got a translation for that verse, that word. So it begs the question, how did William Monier arrive at the meaning of that word? Would anyone like to guess? The only way he could get the meaning of the word is by looking at the commentaries of the acharyas. That's the only way. So Srimad Bhagavatam, it forces us. You have no alternative but to understand Bhagavatam but through parampara. Therefore, it's like any other book, not like any other book. You're forced to understand Srimad Bhagavatam through the parampara. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, the scholars have said, it also uses words from other places, but it uses it in such a unique way that the meaning is different. And I was thinking about this, and I was also reflecting on why Srimad Bhagavatam, in terms of its manuscript history, why Srimad Bhagavatam, in terms of its manuscript history, is the one book that if one looks, one does not find many versions of it. Practically, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the manuscript history is very consistent. Why? Because Vyasadeva written it in such a beautiful way that if anyone tries to change one word, the whole meaning is changed. So you can't change when it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam. You can't interpret it. Therefore, the Mayavadis, they don't even try to attempt to touch Srimad Bhagavatam. And in terms of content, Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted as being unparalleled. So I'll talk a little bit more about the unique aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of its content. Srimad Bhagavatam is very unique because it's ahoituki apratihata, unmotivated and uninterrupted. And what Srimad Bhagavatam does, it presents everything from the perspective of pure Krishna bhakti. Prabhupada said, every word of Srimad Bhagavatam points in only one direction, in the direction of Krishna bhakti, pure, unalloyed devotional service. And therefore, those who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam will see that Srimad Bhagavatam does something very different, or it presents bhakti in a very different way by doing typically what is called role reversals. And I'll explain a bit more about how Srimad Bhagavatam does this. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find children teaching adults, kings becoming greater than brahmanas, demons becoming greater than demigods, wives becoming smarter than husbands. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Animals becoming greater than humans. And Srimad Bhagavatam does this simply to highlight the glories of bhakti and the relationship between the Lord and his devotees. So, I'll give a few examples. One example is the story of Vritrasura. The story of Vritrasura appears in all the Vedic literatures. And in all the Vedic literatures, who is the hero in the pastime of Vritrasura? It is Indra. Indra killed Vritrasura. He's the hero. But what happens in Srimad Bhagavatam? Who's the hero? Vritrasura is the hero. You get to one point in the Bhagavatam, there's this big fight going on between Vritrasura and Indra. And then suddenly Indra becomes very despondent and very sulky. He's not getting anywhere. And then he tells to Vritrasura, you are a Mahabhagavat. Therefore, you are so determined. You're so happy. But I'm just a simple demigod. And then Vritrasura says, come on, Indra. You know, just get on and finish this fight. Kill me. It's a complete role reversal. And then Bhagavatam highlights the devotional qualities of Vritrasura, who in his previous life was a great devotee who got cursed. My mind is going blank sometimes. Chitraketu. The great devotee, Chitraketu. And then, in the Bhagavatam, the story of Vamanadev. The story of Vamanadev is featured in all of the Vedic literatures. And in all of the Vedic literatures, the Brahmin boy, Vamana, he defeats Bali Maharaj by his asking for 3 steps of land. But Bhagavatam, who is the hero in that pastime? Bali Maharaj. Who gave up everything and even the 3rd step put it on my head to the point that the Lord becomes his gatekeeper. Complete role reversal. The story of Prahlad and Lord Nrisimhadev. Again, it features in all of the Vedic literatures. And who comes out? It is Lord Nrisimhadev is highlighted as the central character. But Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 chapters on the pastimes of Prahlad and Lord Nrisimhadev. 10 chapters. One of the longest chapters. But if you look at these chapters, 7 chapters are dedicated to Prahlad and 3 to Lord Nrisimhadev. Again, what's happening? Srimad Bhagavatam is doing the role reversal. Again, what? It's just to highlight how bhakti trumps everything. In the 10th canto, the stories of the wives of the brahmanas. The wives of the brahmanas. Krishna is hungry with the coward boys. The brahmanas are performing a Vedic sacrifice. The coward boys approach the brahmanas. Krishna and Balaram are hungry. Please, can you give some food? No, we're busy. Just leave us alone. The boys are very despondent. They go to Krishna and Balaram and say, they didn't want to give us. They're too busy. And Krishna Balaram, don't be despondent. The wives of the brahmanas are here. You go and ask them. The coward boys go and ask the wives. Oh yes, Krishna and Balaram are hungry. They want something. Everything they cook and they give for Krishna and Balaram. And then the brahmanas say, oh, to hell. They come, eventually they realize their folly. To hell with our Vedic sacrifices. To hell with the chanting of the mantras. These women, these wives, they are meant to be women. Less qualified and intelligent than us, but they have understood the essence of all the Vedas. So Srimad Bhagavatam is full of these stories of role reversals. Unlike any of the other scriptures, giving a completely different perspective, a very beautiful, a very unique perspective. Even a good case study is the ninth canto, the pastime of Lord Ramachandra. Now this pastime, at the beginning, Shukadev Goswami tells Parikshit, you and I have both heard this Ramayan many times. But now, I'm going to tell it again. I'm going to say it again. And then Shukadev Goswami does something very unique. He's saying that all this Ramayana has been heard, but I'm going to give you something different. And what he does is, he goes through the entire plot of Ramayana very quickly. You see in the verses, like that. Lord Ramachandra was the son of Dasharath. He was born even, he was banished to the Dandakya forest and so on. And he just goes to the Ramayana very quickly. But you see, every now and then, he pauses. He pauses, and then he will spend 4 or 5 verses focusing on one subject. And if you look, where does he pause? He pauses at the time where there's an emphasis of the relationship. Like you read the ninth canto, he pauses at the point of Bharat's separation. And then he goes on, and whenever he pauses at specific points to highlight this point of viraha, the point of separation. So those who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam, they can see Srimad Bhagavatam is very special. The way it's presenting this literature. Therefore, it is all perfect. And then Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second verse, it sets out its intention. It sets out why it is so different from all other scriptures. So different from all other Vedic literatures. In the second verse, Dharma Projitaha Kaitavatra Paramonit Maratsaranam Satam Vejam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavatam Mahamuni Krite Kim Vai Parai Ishvaraha Sadyo Ridha Avarudyate Atra Kritibi Shushrusubi Tatsanat. So the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second verse, it says, completely rejecting all religion which is materially motivated, this Srimad Bhagavatam propounds the highest truth. So in its very first, second verse, Srimad Bhagavatam sets out its intention very clearly. It rejects cheating religion. What does it mean to cheat? To cheat means to promise something to someone, but to give them something else. That's what it means to cheat. And basically, this is what religion does. It promises people God. A all blissful, wonderful connection with God. But what does it deliver? If you do this prayer, if you offer me this, you will get that result. So ultimately, religion is cheating. I was recently reading Srila Prabhupada's purport to the Madhya Leela in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I can't find my notes now. Madhya Leela, 1917. And in it, Srila Prabhupada quotes his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And actually, I was very, very surprised to read this. Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, there are two kinds of educational systems. One deals with transcendental knowledge, paravidya, and the other deals with material knowledge, aparavidya. All the Vedas, the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, and Atura Veda, Atharva Veda, along with their corollaries, the Shiksha, Kalpa, Vyakaran, Nirukta, Chanda, and Jyotish, belong to the inferior system of material knowledge. This purport is saying all these Vedas. Because why? It's promoting Artha, Dharma, Karma, Moksha. Without the emphasis on the ultimate religion, which is bhakti. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, the only paravidya is the Vedanta Sutra in the purport. And Srimad Bhagavatam, being the natural commentary of the Vedanta Sutra, is the only paravidya. So Srimad Bhagavatam, it rejects all religion which is materially motivated. And it presents the highest, Krishna Bhakti, the true religion. Only Bhakti can bring happiness. It's only Bhakti can bring the desired result that everyone is seeking. And then Srimad Bhagavatam also says, okay, if you are looking for something else, generally people, they want quick results. They put a little investment, you get something big. And what do you call somebody who put something little effort but wants a big return? What do you call such a person? A gambler. So Srimad Bhagavatam says, if you are a gambler, if you want something great, you want God, you want the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but you want to put in something less, don't look here. You can look someone else. There's no problem. There's no objection. You can look somewhere else. But don't come and look in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if you come and look here, you get something different. You have to put in a different effort. So, this is Srimad Bhagavatam. In the remaining time, I just want to focus on one part of this purport of Srila Prabhupada, because I thought the understanding is very relevant to us. It's very important. Srila Prabhupada says here that one can derive from the study of Srimad Bhagavatam all the benefits that are possible to be derived from the personal presence of the Lord. We do this program, it's called Gomatsya. And normally when I go to people's house, I tell them, I said, you know, according to this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and I read this, I say, imagine one day you come home, and who do you find sitting in your lounge? No one else but Lord Krishna. And if you see Krishna, you will get certain benefits by seeing Krishna. But I said, but imagine one day you come home and you walk into your lounge. But you don't see Krishna sitting there, but you see Srimad Bhagavatam. I said, do you know, according to this verse, it's the same benefit? It's the same benefit you get? But how is this possible? How is this possible? I want to explore this point by relating a story. This is a real life account of one devotee who lives in Mumbai. His name is Ari Prashad Das. Some of you all may have connected with him in Facebook. But Hari Prashad Das is a very wonderful devotee. And he's also a very brilliant Sanskrit scholar. And if you read some of his realizations, you can see, you know, what a wonderful devotee he is. So Hari Prashad Das, he had in his heart the desire to get the darshan of Krishna. He has this desire. And even Prabhupada encourages this desire. He says, one day we shall see Krishna face to face. And Prabhupada is saying. And one time he even told his disciple Saradiya, one day you'll see Krishna face to face and he will kiss you. And she was very shy, she looked down. So this is encouraging. So Hari Prashad Das, he was thinking to himself, when will I be able to get this darshan of Krishna? So he wanted to find out this point. So he went and he started to explore in the Vedic literatures. Where does the Vedic literature says, I will get darshan of Krishna? Personal darshan of Krishna. And what stage of my spiritual development will this darshan take place? And he started to look. But he couldn't find it. He looked in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because that's the law book. And nowhere could he find this point about the darshan of Krishna. So he started to get despondent. But then he looked at Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur's translation of one verse. And then Srila Vishnava Thakur, he explains in this one translation, a commentary, that the stages from Shraddha to Prema. He explains another two stages. The stage of Darshan after Prema. And then there's a further stage. I'm just trying to find that. Yes, the 13th stage is called Darshan. And the 14th stage is called a complete experience of Krishna's sweetness. So he became a little encouraged. Oh, maybe I will get Darshan. But this is after the stage of Prema. That's a bit strange, you know. Because I understand that this material body can't really take the symptoms of prema. So when will this darshan appear? So he started to explore further. Then he came across a verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where the story of a carpenter is relayed. And this carpenter worshipped Krishna in the mood of Nanda Maharaj. And then, when he was exploring this, he saw in the commentary of Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur, he says that this carpenter served the deity in the mood of Nanda Maharaj, but his service can never be like the service of Nanda Maharaj. Because Nanda Maharaj served Krishna directly, but the carpenter served the deity only. For a sadhaka can never attain a direct darshan of Krishna. He should therefore only engage in the service of the deity. So he became despondent. That this verse is saying, in this lifetime, Hari Prasad Das won't get the darshan of Krishna. So he carried on looking, what to do? And he looked at the teachings of Srila Jiva Goswami. And then there's one verse from Jiva Goswami in the Krishna Sandarbha, where Jiva Goswami says, in Kali Yuga, Krishna cannot be seen face to face. He is seen only in the previous ages. Hence he is known as Triyuga, or the one who can be seen only in the remaining three ages. He says, oh no, darshan is not for me. And then he goes and reads Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 18, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is visited from some residents, some devotees. They say, oh, we saw Krishna. We saw Krishna dancing on the head of Kaliya. And then Mahaprabhu just laughed. And every day they would come and say, we saw Krishna dancing on the heads of Kaliya in the river Yamuna. And Mahaprabhu would laugh. And then one of Mahaprabhu's associates, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, goes to Mahaprabhu and says, can I go to the Yamuna and see Krishna dancing on Kaliya? And then what does Mahaprabhu do? He slaps him. Da, 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 da. You fool! Don't you know in this age of Kali, you can't get the darshan of Krishna? So Hari Prasad reads this. And he says, oh, there's confirmation. I can't get the darshan of Krishna. But still he's not satisfied. He goes and explores further. And then he comes upon the commentary of Srila Sanatan Goswami of the Damodara Astakam. And then he comes to verse 4 and 5. And the verse 4 ends with Sadame Manasya Avirastam, where Satyavrata Muni is saying, please always appear in my mind. And then in verse 5, Manasya Virastam Alam Alab Lakshai, always appear in my mind. And then he says, what's happening here? And then he looks at Sanatan Goswami's commentary, and then Sanatan Goswami starts to talk about something called Antar Darshan, the darshan of the mind. And then he goes and explores further, wanting to explore what is this darshan of the mind. And what is this, what Sanatan Goswami is talking about. And then he goes to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the story of Gop Kumara. And in this story, Gop Kumara is residing in the temporary Tapaloka, but he's not satisfied. He wants to see the Lord face to face. And then Pipala Yanamuni begins instructing him. And he says, why do you wish to go elsewhere, leaving this place? Why do you wish to roam here and therefore seeing the Lord with your eyes? Compose your mind, for it is in samadhi alone you will have the darshan of the Lord. The Lord resides everywhere, but he can be seen only through the eyes of a thoroughly cleansed consciousness. And then he goes to the Brahma Samhita. The Brahma Samhita has got a beautiful verse. You know it. Premanjana Churito Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadeva Ridashu Vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is shama sundar. Krishna himself with innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in the hearts of their hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. If you read the purport by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, it's most enlightening. Where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, where does the darshan of the Lord take place? It takes place in the heart. This eye is just a telescopic instrument. And Hari Prasad, he asks a nice question. He says, if one has the choice to see the Lord face to face but feel nothing in the heart, but not see the Lord face to face but to feel the joy and the connection within the heart, which one would we choose? The heart. Because this is where the real darshan takes place. So when Prabhupada says in this purport that through Srimad Bhagavatam we get the same benefit, this is what Srila Prabhupada means. Srila Prabhupada means through Srimad Bhagavatam we can get the darshan of the Lord within our hearts. Within our hearts. Srimad Bhagavatam will give us that darshan. Therefore Prabhupada says, we don't see through the eyes, but we see through the ears. Through the ears, Krishna becomes manifest in our heart. And Srila, if you read through all of the acharyas, you know, even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes in one song, he writes in his songs, he just confirms this point again and again and again. He writes this one song, he says, Janama Safala Tara, Krishna Darshana Yara. He says, his birth is successful whose good fortune draws so as to have the vision of the Lord just once. When the jiva gives up all delusions of mind, then only will he see the vision of Krishna blooming within the eyes of the heart. And then he says in the song, Mama Manna Mandire Raha Nishidin, please abide in the temple of my heart both day and night, O Krishna Murari, O Sri Krishna Murari. So that is our Siddhanta. We see Krishna, we have the darshan of Krishna within our hearts, and that's what Prabhupada means in this purport. So I think I overwent my time today. I'll stop here.